Welcome to Eclad Chat. Eclad Chat. Streaming live to you from Eclad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. Eclad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. Eclad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello everyone, I'm Casey Benane and welcome to Eclad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content and information that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And so, of course, to the left of me, I have Kaylin Burke, the co-host of Eclad Chat.
Hey guys, I'm super excited about today's show. It's going to be a lot of fun, but before we get started, I have to tell you about Eclad's Hidden Gem promotion for this month, for the month of February. You're running out of time. There's only a couple weeks left, and this is a super great deal. We are doing free setup and breakdown time for all venue rentals over 4 hours. And most people are worried if they have an event here that, you know, setting up or cleaning up is going to take extra time, and then they're going to have to pay more, so this kind of saves you from that, and you can take advantage of this great offer. So call us at the Hidden Gem at 212-644-6445. And you have until the end of February until there's a new promotion. And then if you missed our show last week, we had an awesome Ask Chitanya segment. Remember, she comes the second Wednesday of every month. It's so much fun. We talked about the Super Bowl halftime show with Beyonce, the killing of Mario Woods, and also then went to what you'd wear on Valentine's Day.
I know. So it's just like all over the place.
it was a funny mix of what we did. But yeah, she told us great advice for Valentine's Day, and also was talking about Men's Fashion Week, and she attended and helped out at that. And then we also did our second dance of the Hit the Kwan Challenge.
Oh.
So you can see it on YouTube or our social media platforms. We're trying to get better. And our platforms are Eclad One and Eclad One Event Venue, and we also want you to tag yourself, or tag us, doing the Hit the Kwan Challenge yourself. And you can win jewelry from Eclad if we pick yours as the best Hit the Kwan dance. So it's a fun little challenge that we're asking you guys to do.
And listen, if we are willing to embarrass ourselves,
we
think that the least that you guys can do is contribute and and tag us in your videos. And, you know, jewelry. Who doesn't have a chance to win some beautiful jewelry? So you never know. Okay, so we're really excited about today's show. And I mean, really excited. So on today's show, we have interior designer and TV host Lauren Mack. You've seen her on TLC's Emmy Award-winning Trading Spaces, A&E's Drill Team, and most recently as home lifestylist host on Fab Life. Her outlook centers on giving clients affordable luxury and incorporating each client's style while making their space reflect the client's style rather than the spaces filled with interior design trends. Calling herself your homegirl of the homegirl next door, which I thought was really cute. Lauren also specializes in luxury do-it-yourself, and started her own interior design business. I don't know why I'm fumbling, but okay, we'll just
keep going.
We're excited.
Hi! Hello, everyone! Thank you guys for having me today.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Special shout-out to Matt. Matt, you know who you are. Okay, so let's start off with... Well, first, let me just tell all of our listeners out there that today's show is not live, unfortunately, but we know you're listening, so, you know, there won't be a number given out for any calls today, but we do have you Periscope viewers. Hopefully, we have a good amount of you out there paying attention. And if you have any questions, Sarah will be here. You know, she'll take your questions and shoot it out to us, and we'll answer them as we move forward with the show. So back to Lauren. Oh, were you going to say something?
No, I said that's awesome.
Okay.
I love Periscope. It's so cool.
I know. I just started doing it. I'm starting to kind of like become acclimated with the whole social media
thing. Me too. I don't even know how Twitter works, but like Periscope is so cool because you can actually follow real time.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so tell us something fun about yourself, like a fun fact about Lauren Mack. Who's Lauren Mack? What do you like to do?
Well, let's see. A fun fact about me is I actually started my entire television career answering an ad on Craigslist.
Really? Wow.
That's a fun fact that you probably might know.
Definitely.
Speaking of social media and modern technology, isn't that crazy?
Wait, no, you need to elaborate on that. So, okay. Because, like, you know, usually when someone says, I was on Craigslist, it's like, you know, I met, I don't know, it's just Craigslist can be kind of weird.
It is a little creepy. Right. So it has an interesting connotation. But actually, I was designing model homes for a design firm, a company that did all the models for the big builders. So we had, like, KB, Richmond American, you know, the big name builders in the country. And it was becoming a little bit mundane for me at the time. And back in the day, we used to have a sidekick phone. Do you remember the sidekicks?
Oh, yeah.
It was like the first phone with the internet.
The ones that kind of...
Yeah, exactly. And one day at lunch, I was sitting there and I was like, let me just see what job opportunities are available in interior design. And I typed in interior design in Craigslist. And the first thing that popped up was an opportunity to audition for Trading Spaces.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Awesome. I'm like...
Isn't that crazy?
That.
I know. Me neither. I don't think they do it much anymore.
Oh.
But at the time they did. And so
everyone's going to go on Craigslist.
Yeah. Hey, I recommend it. I love that website. Because even then I did Trading Spaces and we would go to different cities and across the United States and I would buy furniture ahead of time or find cool, you know, unique pieces. So I really have to say I love Craigslist for that reason only.
Really?
You can find some monkey stuff on there too, but there's some really great stuff on that.
That's you know awesome. What? My experience with Craigslist, remember when we were trying to find an intern and I got like all these random, I mean, people that wanted to just, I won't even go into what they wanted to do, but it was just like, so I'm really intrigued by your experience with Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's the total opposite of what I experienced.
It's exactly. But you know, a lot of careers are built on there. I found some incredible things. I lost my dog one time and found him at the beginning.
Stop it.
I met my best friend through Craigslist. And again, nothing funky. She came and bought a bed for me. So it's just a really interesting, I think it's a great resource, and I love how modern technology can bring people together.
That's definitely a fun fact. Yeah. I know. Super fun fact.
I think it's probably one of the most interesting ones of all the ones that we've heard so far.
Yeah,
sure.
So before you got that whole opportunity, how did you get into interior designing to begin with? Is it something you always wanted to do?
Well, you know, I say Whitney Houston was born to sing, and David Beckham was born to kick. And I was born to design.
David Beckham was born to kick.
Or just stand there looking good in his underwear. But, you know, it's one of those things. When I was a little girl, I remember being in my mom's room when she would make the bed, and I would fluff her pillows, and I would, like, they have to be perfect. Or I remember staying in my babysitter's house, and her chair wasn't turned the right way, and I would move it the right way. And it was just one of those things about me that I felt like I just had to get it right. I wanted to fix things. And I mean, I was the kind of person who's like sitting in a meeting going, oh, that shelf should be hung a different way, or, you know, that picture's too high, or whatever. So it's just become one of those things that I think was part of my neuroses. I was probably crazy and didn't realize it, but it just became a thing, and I started to really hone in on it. My very first babysitting job I made $25. I'll never forget it. I was about 13 years old, and we had just moved to a new house. And so I asked my mom, can you take me to Home Depot? And she was like, what? And I went and bought a gallon of paint. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in my room that night, and she bought all the paint supplies, and I painted my entire room turquoise, watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? So I think it was just one of those things that I always really enjoyed, and my parents were cool enough to, like, let me practice.
Just kind of,
do my thing. And the next morning, she was like, I really like it in here. It looks great. So she went and bought me a bed set, and I got to redo my room.
Oh, nice.
My first big girl room.
Awesome.
From a young age.
I was young, but I didn't know it was a career at the time. You know, in that day and age, I mean, we're talking the late, early 90s, I didn't realize that that was a career opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I remember designing women on TV.
Yes, I do.
That was the first time I realized that you could actually do what I was doing for a living.
Yeah.
So I remember then thinking, oh, this has the potential to do something. And I love designing women.
Yeah,
it's still today
one
of my favorite shows on television.
I don't get to watch much. You know what? I actually watch more TV when I was younger than I do now. It's just...
I know. We're old now. We don't have time to watch TV.
I'm just going to sigh on that one. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's how it went.
Very true. Okay, so you've had businesses. Well, you've opened businesses both in Hawaii and California, correct? Okay, so tell us a little bit about that. How did you first end up in California, then to Hawaii, and then back to California?
Okay. So I had a boyfriend in college, my very first boo, and he wanted to do voiceovers in California. And so I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go with you. And I was in college at the time. I was in my second year of college, and I had gone to design school.
Yeah.
Actually, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
In high school, I got into graffiti. I was a I had a graffiti crew. And we were cool. We were doing all things graffiti.
Wait, can I just, want to interject, because you said that, and I kind of was talking to Matt about this, and I know he kind of said, you know, whatever he said, I won't say. But, you know, I saw this video that you had out, and you talked about the whole graffiti thing, and I just, it brought me back, like, I thought it was, like, the coolest thing, and you were standing in front of, like, this whole, like, this cement block, and it was, like, all the, you said, and it just kind of, like, brought that image into my mind, and so I'm
Oh gosh. Me too. I'm getting nervous when you talk about it. I'm such a geek. Well, so I had this, what can you say? An Oklahoma graffiti crew. Because I'm originally from Oklahoma City. So I went to an art school there, or high school there, and we had all these cool international students that would come. And I wanted to be anything that they wanted to do. And they were from, like, you know, Germany and France, and they have a big graffiti scene there. They don't have a big graffiti scene in Oklahoma. Not, at least they didn't. They do now, because my friends and I, we just bombed the city. That was our thing. We would go every night. We go out and paint a mural or paint a.
So you were tagging walls.
Tagging walls. I like to paint murals. We're painting murals. I never went to jail, so I think it's art.
Okay.
And so my vision was, I had this cool souped up Honda Civic, you know, back in the day with the Fast and Furious kind of thing. And I had put all my money into it, and I was going to sell that and travel the world with my new European friends and do murals and become an artist. And my mom was like, oh, no, honey. Yeah, but she was like, no, girlfriend, you're taking your ass to college. So I was like, okay, well, how can I go to college and still be able to do the things that I wanted to do? You know, like, I knew I had a passion for design, but again, coming from Oklahoma, I didn't think that I had the resources that were going to get me where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And then I was just kind of overwhelmed with the aspect of what that even meant for me in terms of having leading a career in it. I knew I could probably be an artist, but was I going to pay the bills for me, you know? So I took my love for art, and they had an option for interior design at my local college, so I went to school for interior design. And then I met my little boozle back in the day. And he was going to move to California, so I was like, you know what? California might be a better place for me to utilize this talent. Yeah, exactly. So I did a national transfer, a national exchange program instead of the international exchange program, which allowed me to go to college in a more expensive state, but still pay my in-state tuition. See, girl, I'm teaching you.
Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't either, but I looked into it, and they had it, so I was able to still pay my in-state tuition from Oklahoma, and
that's
then go out of state.
That's super smart, because, I mean, think about what you've said. Okay.
I'm just
thinking dollar signs. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you saved a ton. Just
doing
that.
Well, I'm still paying off my student loans. So.
Yep, me too.
Sounds amazing, guys. So I went to school, and then it allowed me to gain residency while I was there. So when I had gained my residency after my year of living there, then I was able to go there for their in-state tuition, which was actually cheaper, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow.
So that was a great way that I was able to go to school out of state and save some money.
Wow.
And then I became a designer, and so starting my business. So let me give you listeners, a little tip. Sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it. And so what I did was, because I wasn't an official interior designer, because I hadn't graduated yet and I didn't even know what that meant at the time, I just made business cards. I asked my mom to buy me business cards for Christmas, and I decorated them, you know, designed them all up and had them. They were really nice. And I just bought business cards, and I would hand them out anywhere I went. If I was at Home Depot and someone was picking out a finish, I'd hand them a card and say, hey, you know, let me help you with your kitchen
floor. Before you had, like, a legitimate business.
Okay. Yeah, well, I made a legitimate business out of an illegitimate business. You know what I mean? Like,
wow,
I figured, who's going to tell me now? Who's going to tell me I can't do it? I mean, sometimes not all businesses need a brick and mortar. You don't have to have an establishment to become a business. And so, I mean, I made a lot of mistakes. You know, I messed up a lot of stuff along the way. You know, looking back, I wish I could have done some things differently. But I've got to tell you, sometimes faking it helps you make it.
Yeah.
And so that was my biggest lesson. And that's how I became a business owner. Oh. A legitimate.
And then so you made it onto all these great shows also.
Yeah.
And so once you got on those shows, before you got on those shows, how did you outshine other designers to get those different positions?
Well, I'll tell you what. So when I did finally graduate and I needed a job, I had finally had some things on my resume, because while I was in college, I was painting murals for people's baby nurseries, or, you know, helping people redesign their homes and finishing their projects. So I had some actual legitimate clout once I did graduate. And so I went looking for a job, and my very first job was actually working for, it was sort of like an Uber service for interior designers. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was called the Designer's Eye, and it was basically like you'd go into this website and you'd find it was kind of like a Facebook for designers and people who wanted designers. So I had actually gone out and done some really intense projects. So I had some great things in my portfolio. And then I went to find another job. That business kind of fizzled out quickly. And so I went and looked for a job, and I actually got hired as a junior, or excuse me, a lead designer for a for the model home design company. And so that really gave me, again, I was building my portfolio all the while not realizing that I had a portfolio to build. And when I found that opportunity on Craigslist, I think it was sort of like, you know, kismet meeting reality, because I was able to finally actually have something tangible to show somebody, you know. And it, so I guess preparation met opportunity. That's what it is, right?
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. And so I honestly don't remember my audition for Craigslist, because I remember walking in and I remember things happening and sort of having an out-of-body experience and then leaving like, holy cow, what the heck
just happened?
I knew something great happened, but I didn't know what. And I was like, I didn't even realize what this show was about, because in actuality, the ad was for a Trading Spaces like show. So they were trying to rework the option or the idea of Trading Spaces. So in my head, it was like sort of a spinoff. So I was like, whatever just happened was great, but I really wish it was something as great as Trading Spaces, and it turned out to really be actually Trading Spaces.
That's amazing.
I think that's
Tell you right away that you were chosen, or did you know?
No, they're never
so
like that.
Did you just walk out of there just knowing you nailed it?
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know.
Well, because what they did at that time was they would give you, they said, pick an object and design a room around it.
Okay.
And I had actually, it was right before Christmas, because I had bought a bunch of toys for Toys for Tots.
Okay.
And I had this Batman doll in the house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to design a room around this Batman doll.
Okay.
So I created a story in my head about the person that it was going to be. It was like a dot-commer, you know, a single bachelor who wanted to have a cool bachelor pad and loved comics and, like, you know, was really into that kind of thing. And so when I went to the audition, the person that I was kind of playing along with was that exact person. And he's actually a dear friend of mine today. His name is Brian Smalls. Hi, Brian. He lives in New York City, too. And so when it was he and I, it wasn't like it was me, you, or a woman, and I'm trying to pretend that you're a man with, you know, whatever. It was literally that person. So it was very easy for me to have a conversation with him and tell him about his new room, and I had drawings and renderings and pictures I, you know, presented for him. And so I just remember it working like a hand in glove. And so when I walked out of there, I was like, what the hell did I just say? What just went down in there? But it was so fluid. So that's how it happened.
You know what, I find, like, as we do a lot of these interviews, that's sort of, like, consistent with most of our guests.
Yeah, what do they say?
Like, you just, you know, they have this vision, and they're just working towards it, and it just kind of certain events just kind of happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even something that you can fake or force. It's just like, you know, these things just sort of happen, and they align themselves somehow, and then you just sort of fall in the mix, you know?
Yeah, I fell in the mix, all right.
And then it's just like, you know, there's some sort of force that's outside of you that just kind of like, it's just like what you said, you went in there and you don't even know, you don't recall the exact thing that happened, but something happened and you walked out of there and you just knew.
Absolutely.
It's just crazy.
It was, and then of course there were several more auditions after that, but that was the one that caught me. Exactly.
No, but the fact that you got there,
and
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I think I like to think that life has a way of unfolding itself in the way that it's meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I've made a lot of mistakes growing up and dealing with clients and stuff that helped me to get where I am today, you know? I was actually recounting a story of when I had gotten fired one time from a job, and I was brokenhearted, you know, because I thought, well, how could you fire me? How great. But I got to tell you, it was the most valuable lesson I ever learned, because from being fired, I learned, you know, that sometimes you can stand in your own way. Sometimes you can be your own worst enemy.
Right.
And so it was a check. You had to check yourself before you wreck yourself, huh? Well, now I got a wrecking. But now I'm checked.
No, and I think some of the best value, or the best lessons come from, not necessarily failures, but, you know,
things you might have, like, been stuck there and never left.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, gosh. Nancy.
Oh, she gets a load of me now.
Tisk. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Good night.
So one day I was actually watching The Fab Life.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And I was trying to actually find that particular show, because I didn't want to, like, misquote.
Okay.
But I recall that you guys were doing a segment, and, you know, Tyra was there, and I think at one point she mentioned that you were maybe doing interior design for her.
Yes,
I didn't make that up in my head.
No, I designed her entire home. That's correct. Yeah. You didn't make it up. What are you talking about?
And so, And I forget how it came up, but somehow it came out that, you know, you were, at the time, I don't think you were working or you were broke or whatever the situation was, but you were doing this design for free just because you thought that it was an opportunity to something else.
That's absolutely true. You know, actually, I mean, I was working broke, which means paying the bills, but I wasn't balling.
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, at the time, I had actually moved to Hawaii. I lived in Los Angeles, but I decided one day I'm going to move to Hawaii and I just want to try something new. And I did that. And then, through that process, Tyra came about, and this whole process came about, and she called me and said, I'd really love for you to do my home. Well, I was at the time owning two businesses, and one was actually an establishment, a furniture store, so all of my additional money was thrown into that. I mean, it's expensive to own a business, and it is a constant expense.
Yes,
it's never like you pay for it and it's over.
Yeah.
And so to say that I was broke, well, I was working people broke, you know, where you're like, don't have...
I relate to that.
In other words, you can't donate your services to someone who's not broke at all. You know what I mean? It was a very humbling experience because to know that someone of that magnitude was millions of dollars and you're like, no, girl, I'll do it for free. I'll help you somewhere. And you're like, could you throw me $1,000? $1,000 would make a huge difference in my day to day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But I didn't want to look thirsty. And more importantly, I wanted to create a relationship.
Right.
And sometimes when you're building a business, you have to sometimes it's about being a little bit humble. I mean, you always want to ask for what you're worth. But but at that point, I couldn't have put a price tag on something, some opportunity like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even feel comfortable throwing a number out to someone that, I just didn't want to look thirsty. I don't know how to say it any other way. I just wanted to really show that you were
grateful for the opportunity to even do this.
Exactly.
You know, the fact that she even considered you
as
the designer to go to say, can you do my home? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
and then, like, to let the work speak for itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And you know what? The work did speak for itself. And at the end, I got a very lovely chip. Thank you, Tara, babe. But that's the lesson. I mean, sometimes you do have to eat a little crow and, you know what I mean? And and make a sacrifice for the betterment of your own, you know, future. And I really did. And that was a lot of work. And it was a long period of time. And I was flying back and forth from Hawaii to LA to work on that project. But it was the most fun I've ever had in a project because she's very fun and she has a great budget. She's not like my girlfriends and I, when we're like, $25, what can I do with this?
So how are we going to split this meal, guys?
Exactly. But I think that's the valuable lesson is, like I was trying to say, sometimes you get an opportunity and you got to really take it and you know, make it the best you can.
Absolutely.
And try to work for it. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Broke, working broke. That's a new category.
Yes. Sure, many people can relate to that. And on our show, we have a lot of entrepreneurs who listen who are just starting out and kind of, you know, trying to make their business work. So do you have any advice for those people to get to the top or make their way to be more known or more successful?
Absolutely. You know, I love to utilize all of my resources in terms of advertising. Advertising for me was one of the biggest issues of my business because you can have the best business on earth, but if people don't know about you, then they're not going to be able to utilize your services. So for me, as an interior designer...
Sorry, I bought like a fuzz flyer.
It's probably my vest.
It's okay.
You still like it?
Yeah. I love it.
I know it's flying because it's stuck to my lipstick too. I have on a very Anna Nicole Smith vest today, y'all.
It's beautiful.
And it is acting a fool. Shedding like crazy over here. Sorry. So utilizing your resources. And one of the things that I did, it didn't matter. Even to this day, I would probably still do it. But I advertised through Craigslist. I used every free resource I could where people could see my name through either whether it be Craigslist or Groupon was a great source. I mean, Groupon is a great advantage for people who are starting a business because it allows you to advertise your business to a core group of people who are interested in services through one company, and they don't make you pay up front. So I advertised my business through Groupon as an interior designer when I moved to Hawaii. Let me tell you about this real quick before I go into that. I went to Hawaii on vacation, and I decided I'm going to move there. I'm just going to give it a shot. And I did a couple of really cool things that helped me allow to live there very well, and I think that everyone should know about them. And number one was I saved up enough money to rent a 2-bedroom apartment, and that was because I Airbnb'd the 2nd bedroom.
Oh, that's smart.
It was very smart, but I'll tell you why. Because I made so much money on my Airbnb that I would pay $400 a month to live in a high-rise in Hawaii.
Wow, that's
overlooking the ocean. It was very smart. And so those are things that you can do to help yourself to get a one-up in your business, even if it's you're living in an apartment in Jersey. get a two-bedroom apartment so you can rent that other bedroom out so you can save some money so you can invest in your business.
I actually know people that do that, the whole Airbnb thing. I've
stayed at Airbnb.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
You know what? I think I've lived in New York too long because I am skeptical of everyone and everything.
You're not going to meet the coolest people, girl.
Really?
There's no murderers or killers on there.
I don't know. They have reviews and everything.
Yeah, they get reviews. I mean, you jump in a cab and don't care, do you?
So, yeah. I guess it is kind of
You open
the
door
thing.
For the pizza man, don't you?
I do, actually. Every single, once a week.
Exactly. I did it last night. So.
I see your point.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but these are vetted.
Let loose, relax a little.
You'd answer an ad on Craigslist, wouldn't you? Okay, there you have it. So that's what I did. But to save money, I did that. But then I utilized my resources in the Groupon. Going back to that, allowed me to advertise my business in a way that I didn't have to pay up front for the advertising costs. I didn't have to put it in a newspaper or a magazine or any of those other things that would cost me hundreds, thousands and thousands of dollars, and it's only going to that one publication. And so that was a great way to utilize it. And I went from having 30 clients to having 1,400. In a matter of a year and a half.
Wow.
That's a good
substantial.
It's a great way to do. And like I said, if you don't have something that you're a tangible item that you're selling, or, that's actually going to cost you money, but if you're offering services or some type of your time, Groupon is a great way to help further your business that way.
Yeah.
And so what else? And then again, make some business cards. Sometimes you may be
the
saying.
The smallest things are makes the biggest difference.
Well, because again, you can advertise. You can put them anywhere. So if you're a hairstylist and you go out of town and you see somebody whose hair looks crazy, you can say, hey girl, I love your hair. I think I would love to give you a trim. Here's my card. Or something. You never know. What's the worst you can hear is no. But you're already at no, so you may as well.
Let's give it a try.
Give it a shot. Yeah.
So tell us what it's like working with Tyra Banks, Chrissy Teigen, Ashley, Josie.
He's my baby. He's Josie. Actually here in New York City right now. Hi, Joey. This is amazing. It is a dream come true. Tyra is an incredible force to be working with and such a strong businesswoman and so admirable in so many different ways. Yeah. And to have her recognize your talent, too, is humbling. I mean, it's made me cry a couple of times. Give me a cocktail, I'd be really crying. but she's amazing and incredible and so talented and so smart. And it's just a pleasure to work with her. And Chrissy is hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know her. I'm saying it like I know her personally.
You're like, I know.
Yeah, I know.
She is beyond a dream. I mean, so funny, so much fun, and so talented, too. I mean, I was thinking the other day, what would make the perfect woman? And it is talent, beauty, intelligence, kindness, and she is all of those things in one. And then Leah she's my ace. She's my number one because we actually started our audition process together on the very same day. So we started out together.
She went through
the entire journey together. Yeah. So she is my sister from another mister, and her baby is my little boo. I mean, I have to kiss him every day. I go in her room and kiss him. He's wonderful. And Joe he's like the brother I never had. I actually think we're twins because I always say gay men and black women are twins, and Joe and I are exactly he is the funnest person ever on earth and so smart. I mean, he's so humble and such a good person, and the fact that he knows every superstar on earth. Last week we went to a party, and me and Joe and Kris Jenner and Cindy Crawford were there. Yes, I said those two names. And me and Joe and Cindy and Chris were all hanging out in the corner again, and I was like, is there a photographer
just
around?
Sitting on some lawn.
Is there a photographer around to take this moment? And Kylie walked up and so did Chloe, and I was like, oh yes, hi girls. Hey guys. Anyway, and there I was in my H&M jacket, but it didn't matter. That's how cool these people are, and we've really become a family, and so excited to just get to know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bond that I don't think will ever change.
Yeah,
and it's a fun show. You broadcast on TV different design solutions. So since ours is a radio show, we were kind of wondering if it was to be on radio, how would you translate different design solutions via radio? Because it's kind of how you can't see it.
Yeah, I know, and design is such a visual thing.
Exactly.
But there are some certain things that I can tell your listeners right now that will really help.
Yeah, that would be great.
I talk about affordable luxury, and for me, what that means is being able to save as much of your money as you can and still be able to live really well. And I think a lot of people can do that. And there are certain easy things that you can do right now in your home that don't cost any money, and you don't have to see me demonstrate right here, but you can do it at home. Like, for instance, I tell people, hanging your pictures at the right level can make a big difference. So design is a lot of times about proportion, and it's about balance. So if you have And especially here in New York City, these really tall ceilings. And even yesterday, I was at my girlfriend's house, and her pictures are hung really high, and her sofa's really low, so there's this really weird void in the middle. So I tell people, hang your pictures at about 60 inches. The middle of the picture should be about 60 inches. That's a museum. That's how they hang them at the museum. So that's a good tip, is just hang your pictures.
60 inches from the bottom.
From the floor.
From the floor. Okay.
To the middle of the picture. Okay. Should be about 60 inches.
Okay.
So once you find that point, then just hang the picture adjusted accordingly, and that'll help you to really create some balance.
I'm going
to
go home and check that out. Yeah. I have a feeling that my pictures are.
I always do them too high.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Everybody does. Mm-hmm. It's a common mistake, so that's one thing too. Another way to kind of change up your space, and I call this the free design redesign, mm-hmm. is sometimes. Now I'm getting caught up in this fuss.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Sometimes too, even like reimagining your own space. I know when I move into an apartment and I've seen like the spots on the floor and the carpet where the other people's furniture was, people commonly put their furniture there because that's where the other person put their furniture there too. But you can sometimes even reimagine your space. And I often tell my clients, move some of your furniture around. Mm-hmm. Just take your sofa off the wall and float it in the middle of the room and live with it for 2 weeks. Because it takes about 2 weeks for you to get used to it. Exactly. And then that's a great way to change something up in your own space if you just want to see a new, green vision.
Just a little change.
Just a little change. Also, too, hanging your curtains a little higher than the window. A lot of times when you have a window, you just hang the curtains
right
at it. You
can see the sill a little bit on the top. Yeah,
if you can.
So go above.
Go above. If you have a really long curtain, you can find some really cheap ones at a place that rhymes with Mykea. They're really long and they're really cheap. And hang your curtains higher than the window, like all the way to the ceiling if you can, mm-hmm. and even out about 10 inches out a little bit, so that way it makes the window feel bigger and your space feels taller and longer in the room. So it's about proportion. It's kind of like the difference between wearing a pair of jeans that actually fit and a pair of jeans that's like 2 inches too short. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's about proportion.
Yeah.
So you just really want to play with those things. And last but not least, if you
although
can do,
people are wearing their jeans 2 inches short now.
Well, now that's
kind of cool.
It ain't cool in curtains, honey. And last but not least, if you can do nothing else, mm-hmm. this is a very important thing, just keep your house clean. It makes people feel that you've taken good care of your home and that it's very well organized. And I don't mean clean to the point where you can eat off the floor, but just things put away, you know, things organized effectively, and that's the best tip I can give you, if nothing else.
Awesome. Those are super helpful, especially via radio. You can just get
tips.
I was going to say, go clean your house now.
It's true.
I need to go clean my house.
I often need to clean my house, too. I'm famous for, like, taking my clothes up in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my living room is, like, my new closet. Okay, I'm saying that out loud.
I know. I'm just trying to say that. But if you go home and clean up your house, there's something about a clean house that makes your life feel better.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I feel like that when I clean the bathroom, which is the place I clean most often. I go and I'm like,
oh. Exactly. It's true. But doesn't it feel good? My mom told me one time, she said, this house is mine. Mm-hmm. I own this house. But this box, she handed me a box. She said, that's yours. You can be as messy as you want to in this box.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've adopted in my life. Yeah. It's like I have a bunch of messy boxes. Like, stuff is piled and junked up in there, but it looks clean when the boxes are all cute and lined up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I buy decorative boxes from, like, Ross, and, you know, they're like $5.99. Yeah. Put all my jewelry and junk in there, and I don't have to see it, and it looks cute, and it's a mess. It's up.
Yeah. No, I like that idea. Do that, and it helps make things look organized, too.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what would you say is your biggest accomplishment to date? Like, if you had to choose one thing out of
not going to jail? No, I'm just kidding. My biggest accomplishment to date, I have to tell you, you know, owning a store and maintaining that was, for me, a really huge accomplishment. It was a dream of mine. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Hawaii, again, I had 1,400 clients in 2 years after the course of my first 2 years. And I realized that after that, I'm like, well, I can't keep going to the same stores. It's Home Depot, it's, you know, Lowe's and all these other places. So I decided to open my own furniture store.
Yeah.
And that was a big undertaking because, I mean, I had to get all this money to start the business and buy the inventory and all this stuff. And it was really intensive. And I got to say, it was just reaching that goal, succeeding that goal was really, really made me feel so valiant because you can dream something, but then when you actually do it and it's actually yours, it's great.
And you're able to maintain it.
We kept the doors open 2 years running. We actually opened two stores for it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was
great.
Really good. Yeah. It was also, you also got to be careful what you wish for. It was a lot of freaking work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but other than that, I think that's a big accomplishment. And I mean, I know being in television is incredible too, don't get me wrong, but just even making your own, setting and succeeding your own personal goals has been a really big pride of mine.
Yeah, that's a super great accomplishment. You've done so much since then also, but kind of what are you looking forward to in the future? Are there any projects you want to shout out that we should be looking forward to?
Well, I think as I'm sitting here with you recanting my last 33 years, I have no idea what the hell is coming up. There's so many great things that are in the works and cooking up right now through editorial opportunities and more television opportunities that we're working on. And hopefully marrying Trevor Noah. If I can. Or Dwayne Johnson. He's my other boo.
Oh, wait, isn't Dwayne Johnson married?
He's not married. He's just got a baby mama.
He's still up for grabs.
Florence.
I'm willing to overlook the newborn baby.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so on Eclat Chat, we broadcast on business news that, you know, applies to lifestyle, fashion, events, that kind of thing. So there are, like, a series of questions that we just like to leave off with.
I love it.
Okay, good.
Oh, so it's like rapid fire?
Kind of.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the most memorable event that you've ever attended and why?
It was the Daytime Emmys. We actually presented to Steve Harvey. I should have screwed it up and not said Steve Harvey. But actually, the most memorable event part was I am in love with Mario Lopez. Oh. He was my heart high school.
Growing up.
Yes.
AC Melrose,
90210.
No, wait, no.
This is later. He's my boo. And he was backstage presenting right before, so we were back there getting ready, and I had this big, fancy, beautiful dress. Personally, custom designed for me by Ari South, and I was in the back, and I was like pulling all the necessary parts and pieces and shoveling the two ladies into their necessary corners. And just at that moment, as I have my hand in my shirt full of boobs, in comes Mario Lopez, and I was like, hello. And yeah, I wanted to die and cry. So that was my most memorable event, and it was really, really awesome.
It sounds very memorable.
Yeah, it was really awesome. It was awesome.
That's so funny. And do you have three jewelry or accessory essentials that you think every woman should own or that you never leave the house without?
I do, of course. Well, I love a great pair of studs. I think it's important to always have an earring. For me, it just makes me feel finished in my outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I love studs, earrings, stud earrings. I love my watches. I got to know what time it is, even though it's never at the right time because I'm always everywhere. Thank you, guys. And a good handbag. I think a good handbag is always essential for a lady to keep her necessities in, most importantly.
So you're definitely like a girly girl.
I'm a total girly girl.
Okay.
Shamefully so.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm known for my nails. I don't have them on right now, but I love my nails done.
Yeah, well, this is pretty.
No, if you watch my Instagram, I am like known for having long claws, lots of sparkles, but I just took them off last week because now I need a new job.
Oh, okay, so are you a lip gloss or a lipstick girl?
Lip gloss!
Okay.
Because I can't wear lipstick because I touch my face and then I have red stuff all over the place.
Oh, no.
That's what happens to me.
And finally, do you have a favorite accessory or jewelry designer?
Does Claire's Boutique count? I'm just kidding.
It counts. Say
it. Eclat, of course. Hello.
Wait, you heard it here first. No, okay.
Hello, that's my favorite jewelry.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us.
A lot of fun. Oh, my God. Your tips.
Good.
So much info.
I hope so.
The energy was just amazing. Like, we really try to do that because it's like, you know, it's a business show, but we try to keep it as fun as possible so we're not, people are not snoozing or hitting the dial.
I agree. I got to tell you, it's being your own best PR person, your own hardest worker is your best advice. And I hope everyone out there who's working on their own businesses is encouraged by any information I was able to give them.
Okay, I'm sure they're
you're gonna make it. Just keep going.
Yeah, keep going. I agree. So, but if anyone wanted to, like, you know, I don't know, follow you on social media, are there any handles you want to provide or anything, any information you want to tell them?
Absolutely. Please do follow me, and you're always welcome to ask me questions or anything. I'm happy to help. It's at Lauren Mack. That's LaurenMakk. 2 K's because I'm ghetto. At Yahoo. Oops, not Yahoo. I'm sorry. At all of my social media channels. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yay! Love it! Thank you so much,
you guys.
If everyone follows you in town, I hope you come back.
I will.
Swing by and chat it up with us.
I would love to.
Thank you.
We can do remote stuff.
Oh, I would love that. Maybe we can do like a to-do or something like that, like, you know, how-to or something.
Yeah,
yeah, it'd be awesome.
You know, especially as business owners, I had to come constantly with how to redo my store.
Yeah.
And that was, in and of itself, a headache.
So, oh, my God.
Not a headache. A challenge.
A challenge. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the news event and the designer feature of the day. See you in 60 seconds.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
So we are back with the designer feature of the day, which is the Fancy Saturn necklace by Officina Bernardi. Casey is wearing it today.
Yay.
Looks super cute on her outfit. And it's a platinum and 18-karat white gold mix over silver sterling pendant, and it has moon cut beads, so it's part of our moon cut collection.
Yes.
And it's about 18 inches long. Can you adjust it in the back?
Yes, it has an adjuster.
Okay, great. Those are my favorite, just because
yes.
It depends on the cut of the shirt you're wearing.
You can go longer or shorter.
Exactly, so that's super important. And handcrafted in detail, made in Italy, which is awesome if you want a little chic Italian piece. And you can get it on eclad.com. It's
yay!
Super fun. Classic piece, I would say, if you want to pair it with any color.
Yeah, and what I like about this particular necklace is, just like you said, it's classic in the sense of, you know, it looks really nice. I've worn it with a t-shirt or a tank top in the summer, mm-hmm. And you can wear it, it can, you know, go with something super classy, dressy, it can, you know,
yeah.
be dressed up or dressed down. So it's an ideal piece. It's a little bit of a investment piece,
mm-hmm.
but it's worth it because it can be worn constantly, never fades. And because
yes.
it's you know, platinum over silver, it'll never tarnish.
Oh, that sounds good.
So yeah, so go get yours at eclad.com, like Kaylin
yes.
said. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the news and the events for this week. First, I just have to say, like, how amazing was that? Was our interview
yeah,
with Laura
so
Mack? It was so much fun, right?
Now I'm going to go home and reevaluate my apartment.
I know. It's so funny that you're saying that because, like, the whole time my brain kept going.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I need to do this now. And even, like, with the space, I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, just like, even it wasn't like we got, like, a whole ton of information, but just, like, the pieces of information
yeah.
was just,
those, like, three tips she gave us were really useful,
yeah.
I think, for anyone.
For sure. Okay, and so today in retail news, we've been following the story for a while now, reporting
yes.
on reporting on it for, I want to say, maybe a couple months.
Yeah, definitely.
On and off. So after Doug Charney's last attempt to gain back his company was unsuccessful, American Apparel has since emerged from Chapter 11 as a private company. On January 27th, Delaware Bankruptcy Court approved American Apparel's request to reorganize and form a private company. As previously reported, American Apparel filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in October after struggling with poor sales and losses amid a protracted conflict with Dove Charney. Now, Dove, you know, like I said, we've been kind of like, we've been talking about this for months now, but Dove Charney is actually the founder of
yes.
American Apparel. Unfortunately, he has
kicked
lost.
The curve.
Yeah. yeah. So Charney has filed a number of lawsuits against the company and accused executives of conspiring against him after he was fired in 2014 amid allegations of his misconduct, but was unsuccessful on all attempts. Under American Apparel's reorganization plan, the company secured lenders will convert $230 million of bonds into equity, provide $40 million of exit capital, and commit to a $40 million asset-backed loan. American Apparel states that these sources of incremental liquidity will serve as vital support to its turnaround plan, and interest expense will decrease by $20 million. The company also converted its corporate form from a Delaware corporation into a limited liability company.
Wow, so we had a lot of changes going on.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for them, they feel like, you know what, if we're going to start over, we might as well start over.
Yeah, change things up.
Yeah.
Also in the news, this is fun, Macy's has partnered with Awesomeness TV to debut In Awe of You, which is a lifestyle brand aimed at Generation Z, which is the post-millennials or plurals. I guess I'm not a part of that group, unfortunately. But the line features coquettish dresses, trendy clutches, and other more whimsical accessories, nail decals, mobile chargers, temporary tattoos. It's a lot of fun things for these Generation Z people. And it's available in stores this month, and In Awe of You is aimed at making the junior customer look and feel their best for all important social occasions of their life, which I think is great because they're incorporating, like, you know, mobile accessories,
yeah,
tattoos, so it's all aspects, not just if you're going to be fancy or...
And quite honestly, I feel like that's what this generation is all about now. It's like everything social, so, you know, you have
yeah
to look good for all the social things that you're doing,
exactly,
whether it's a selfie and ussy like we just did with with Lauren and, you know, for whatever the occasion.
I've never heard the term ussy until...
Really?
Yeah. See, I'm behind on something.
Well, here's the thing. I see it as U-S-I-E, and I didn't know if it was pronounced ussy or ussy, and so I said it both ways, and they were like, ussy.
Ussy makes sense, because it's like, us.
Yeah, well, like,
I don't know what ussy would be. I don't know what that would be. But anyway, you know, In Awe of You was going to be showcased, or it wasn't, it will be showcased in Closet Wars, which is a new series starring YouTube sensations Vanessa and Veronica Merrill, and it'll be on the Awesomeness TV YouTube channel, and that whole channel premiered on February 8th. And In Awe of You's collection is going to retail from $39 to $79.
Not
so
bad.
Yeah, pretty affordable.
Yeah. Okay, so Pandora nixed 183 stores. So we went from great news and we're going to not so good news. Pandora has nixed 183 stores last quarter and will cut 100 jobs. In its fourth quarter, Danish charm manufacturer Pandora closed 183 unbranded retail accounts, mostly in the United States, its highest number yet. For the past year, Pandora has been slashing a number of mostly U.S.-based unbranded stores. In its third quarter, it slashed 116. In the fourth quarter, before that, it dropped 125. And even before that, 105. So it seems like they've just been slashing,
yeah,
you know,
continuously.
Yeah, continuously. U.S. revenue for the fourth quarter saw a 33% increase or 16.5% jump in dollar terms. Overall, group revenue represents a 43.4% growth or a 35.8% increase in local currency. Despite all this, which is good news, like it seems like they've just been increasing, their profits have been increasing, but despite, you know, the increases that they've been seeing as part of their new Project Agility, 100 positions have been or are being eliminated. It's stated that this isn't a cost-cutting exercise, but rather a streamlining of the current organizational setup. Yeah. Not sure of that. I mean, if you're cutting people loose, I think it's a cost cut. I mean, if you're making, you know, if your company's doing well, you're seeing profits, and you're cutting people, I think it's a cost-cutting exercise.
Definitely.
But I'm not an expert, so what do I know?
You know, a lot of brands are seeming to be doing this lately.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, because then, like, what happens to all these lives and all these people that depend on, you know, their employers to keep their lives going? I don't know.
I mean, another cancellation. This is an event news now. Going to events, pop culture convention planners ReadPop will no longer put on their secondary two-day comic book festival special edition NYC. Because the company plans to devote all its resources into expanding New York Comic Con, which is a huge event, and it's October 6th through 9th this year at the Javits Center. And so they're not doing that, unfortunately. If you're planning on going, gotta let you know it's not happening. But Comic Con will be here before you know it, and then the whole city's all dressed up.
It's starting to really become a big thing.
Oh,
I mean, it's big, but I mean,
it's really becoming huge.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know. Okay, so in today's events, JA New York is back. As you guys know, we have this event at least, it's either three or four times a year. So March 13th through the 15th at the Jacob Javits Center right here in New York City will be JA New York. And for those of you who are not familiar with the JA show, it's the leading jewelry trade show event ever, at least here in the United States. It includes roughly 550 of the world's finest jewelry brands, designers, and suppliers representing the full spectrum of market categories and product choices. So if you're interested in going, I mean, if you're a retailer, you need to be going to this. And so you can just head over to ja-new-york.com to register.
Another fun event coming up is the Winter Daylife pop-up at the Lowline Lab. In Daylife, they usually bring Lower East Side vendors in one spot, normally outdoors, but it's way too cold right now, yeah. So it's not happening outdoors. It's actually going to be a pop-up at the Lowline Lab, which is on 140 Essex Street, and there's going to be local foods there and the lab's virtual outdoor reality. I don't know if that's, so they're going to pretend to make it seem like it's outdoors.
Right, so, I mean, we can post this online too, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it looks fun. It looks more beautiful than the outdoors
That's
really
awesome.
Look. So it's like you're walking through like this huge, it seems like a tunnel-like thing, mm-hmm. and you see trees, you see birds, you see like, you know, just
That's
outdoorsy
so cool.
stuff. And, but then there's like all these vendors lined up selling food, clothing, jewelry, you know, different
yeah.
things. So it's like normally they have this during the, like the nicer
yeah,
seasons.
Exactly.
And they don't usually do it in the winter. And they thought, okay, well, maybe if we bring it indoors and bring the outdoors,
okay.
indoors, then we can
yeah,
do something.
It's a fun way to change it up, too,
yeah.
from the normal
it,
event.
It sounds cool.
And some of the vendors that are going to be there are Saxby Cheesemongers,
mm-hmm.
Osaka Grub, Davidovich Bakery, Puebla Mexican Food, the Arancini Brothers, and a lot more. So it's on Sunday, February 21st from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. I will probably go.
I was just going to say, maybe we should make this a, because it's a, oh, it's a Sunday.
I'm in the city Sundays already, so
oh,
I was like,
are
we
you?
Might as well
hmm.
just go. It sounds a lot.
We should talk about that.
Yeah, it'd be really fun, so I can report back if I do go.
Okay, guys, so that ends the show. I feel like it went so quickly. No, just it went you through, and it's over. You blink, and it's done. Oh, God. So anyway, we just want to thank you for listening and for sharing your time with us. And just to let you guys know, on next week's show, we're going to have Miss New York, Nicole Kulavini? Kulavini? Oh, jeez, I'm always messing up people's name. Nicole, I'm so sorry.
Miss New York Nicole.
Yeah, Miss New York Nicole. So she'll be here, and we're going to be talking about her crown, you know, about her time as Miss New York. She'll be giving up her crown sooner, and she, I guess she'll be, you know, crowning the new Miss New York once that mm-hmm. whole pageant thing happens. And so we're going to talk about all those things and all the successes that she's kind of experienced through the year that she has been Miss New York and what she has going on, basically. So that should be an interesting show. We've never had a Miss New York or a Miss anything.
No.
Any kind of pageantry, anything here. So that would be really cool. Maybe she could teach us how to walk or something like that. I don't know. It has nothing to do with what we do. But
the wave.
It,
the pageant
yeah, we can,
wave.
We can, although I think I maybe. Okay.
The cupped hand.
The cut, there you go. Okay, guys.
Is
so
the princess wave? It could be both.
I don't know.
We'll have to ask her. We'll ask
there
her and find out.
See? Interesting already. So until next time. Have a great rest of the week and, you know, remember, love life and wear it well. Good night, guys.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.